resembles slavery. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
Welcome to Toward Anarchy. Thank you so much for joining me. I am Michael Storm. This is wonderful. It's the end of the year, last show of the season, and I'm already looking forward to 2023. And as always, fantastic to be here. Thank you for joining me. I'm live across the Republic Broadcasting Network all around the world. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, support the network. Click on the shop button and jump into the shop and to get that win-win situation where you support the sponsors who support us, and everybody wins. Everybody wins. You get wonderful products and services, things that you can't get in other places. And it's just fantastic to be able to do this and know that it's because of you and your support and your dollars. When it comes down to it, right, the things that keep the world going, right, is that almighty dollar. It's just a fact of reality, and thanks to you, we're able to do this. We're able to do this thing every week like I do, come here and just chat and run on and hope that somebody's listening and catches what it is that I mean and gets the important part of it, I don't know if there's ever an important part of it. There can't be if I'm sitting here talking about Kevin Smith movies. And that happens often enough. Not today, though. This time of the year is a weird time of the year for a lot of people, and they handle it in different ways. It's super stressful. It's the end of the year, so people are thinking about next year and things like businesses are wrapping up and taxes are coming due. And there's all this stuff that happens right at this time of year. Of course, the holidays and family visiting and remembering loved ones that aren't with us anymore. And all of these things that weigh on us on the holidays and at the end of the year and the transition into a new year. And the last couple of weeks, it's been my goal to just kind of ease you into it, maybe convince you that it's not that heavy of a burden to bear. And so it works out perfectly that my good friend Dr. Dean Lloyd is joining us today for a conversation about just that. He's going to weigh in and help us fit into the new year, or at least maybe into our pants for the new year. I don't know. There's all kinds of metaphors and analogies and connections in this idea of weighing in and carrying heavy burdens, especially again at this time of year with all the holidays and the actual weight, and that's one of those things that'll weigh on people as they go into a new year, come out of an old year. That end of the year it's all that food that we sort of pile on in the last 2 months of any given year, and real weight can weigh on people going into the new year. And this causes depression, and depression acts itself out in a bunch of different ways in individuals and how they act toward other individuals and create toxic environments. And so it all ties together in trying to manage that heavy burden that we deal with initially through us, handle it the best that we can. And so Dr. Dean Lloyd is here with us. I believe he's already on the phone here on the Skype, I guess, and ready to chat about this thing. If you want to follow along, as always, go to towardanarchy.com. Look for December 18th. There should be a link right there on the front page. If not, click the episodes button in there. Last show of 2022, you'll see Dr. Dean Lloyd. He's evolving the species, right? And he's helping us to grow, and he's helping us with the healing process and connecting the body and the mind and the spirit. And here today to weigh in on these options. You know, it's a limited subset of options that you have in dealing with anything. There's overall larger ones, but depending on the situation and dealing specifically with the situation, limited subset of options for handling these sort of draining and limiting heavy burdens that we either carry around with us, and we always carry them around with us, whether they're foisted on us by somebody else or not. We carry them around with us until we deal with them. And so it's great to have Dr. Dean Lloyd here. Visit evolvingthespecies.com if you'd like to learn more about Dr. Dean Lloyd, and if you'd like to follow along just sort of generally in the topics that we talk about, we're sort of pulling them from Cruising the Epiphany Highway, and there's a link there at towardanarchy.com where you can pick up a copy of that, the book by Amrose. And so I'd like to introduce you all, if you haven't met him yet, to my friend Dr. Dean Lloyd. Dean, how you doing, man? Are you there? I don't have you. No. There you are. Maybe. Oh, he's muted. Get your mute button on there, buddy. Yeah, because it shows us on this end that he does. I can see it right there. That's kind of funny. I'm hard pressed to get information from my own, what I'm doing on the thing, but I can tell you what's going on his end. So we'll get him straightened out here in a second. Oh, wait. Well, there's an image. That's something. He'll get it all worked out here in a minute. He's moving stuff around and yeah, fun. Oh, I think we lost him there. No, if you move it. See, that was weird how it just bounced like that. Oh, you're not seeing this, so don't mind yourself with what we're doing over here. We'll get it handled, and we'll add Dr. Dean Lloyd in here. This is a conversation that I wanted to have. There he is. I bet he can talk now. Dr. Dean Lloyd. There you are. Yeah, it happens. And what are you going to do with these things? Some of this technology stuff is a little goofy. Well, I was just saying, I could see that you still had your end on mute, and I'm looking around for the mute button on mine.
Okay. No, I just had to find it. But now that we have, all that matters is we're connected. So,
yes, sir. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
I was talking about this weighing in thing. It's funny because this kind of always happens. We must have some similar thought line, connection, something like that going on after a little bit of time doing this together. We kind of had the same idea and just sort of talking about these things that weigh on us, the end of the year and the holidays and the different things that can happen to us, you know, sort of some people missing loved ones and feeling lonely or not having family and any other number of given sort of burdens that we carry, and it just seems like they're a little bit heavier at this time of year, and then you reached out and said, hey, let's talk about this here for this last show of the year. And I'm thinking, this is fantastic. Once again, we're connected and thinking alike, and I think it's a good service to provide for people, because I think they need that clarity, especially if they're mired in heavy burden and lost in that zone and really haven't found their way out.
Right, and this is traditionally, of course, the time to celebrate the light, right?
And
half of the work is admitting that there is a burden. Because anytime you're noticing that you're being held back on some level, be it financially, be it too much demand from your family, or too much, you know, that you're demanding from yourself, I'm here to remind you that you had the God-given right to give yourself permission and also change your mind. Some people will get so locked into the way that they are doing things that they don't see another option. But I'm going to go over that with you, because when you go, in my case, I've learned a long time ago, the deeper I go in my psyche, the lighter I feel. And that means that what holds you back very often is the times that keep us from addressing what gives us pleasure, what makes us happy, what gives us that feeling of being light. And it's so very often that I run into people that are overthinking, they're overworking, they're not doing a wholesome discipline, and they get wrapped up in this world so much. What am I going to buy for this person? You know, how much energy does this person, you know, require from me? It's a balancing act. And part of the joy of making it work for you, especially in the holiday time, because we're focusing in on those people that mean a lot to us, or we've grown up with, or we shared with, or, you know, things we want to share with others. This is a really good thing if you are able to keep yourself from being overburdened. Okay? And I'm going to read on page, I think it's 20. I'll come back to the exact page here. But weighing in is the title of this excerpt, and I'm going to read it, and then I'll go over the different points. Weighing in, your choices in handling a heavy burden. And incidentally, the topic for today, of course, is weighing in, lightening the load of this holiday. So, if someone places a weight upon you, a burdensome, limiting containment field, it will limit your range of motion and drain your energy. Just maintaining your existence will increasingly degenerate into an exhaustively painful struggle. If a heavy burden is placed upon you, you will have essentially three choices of how to handle it. One, of course, the best option would be to get rid of the damn obstruction and go freely about your business. Or, two, you can fight the good fight. Existentially, you will bear the burden and not give in. Of course, this will make all of your activities slower and more difficult. It will limit your range of motion, take pleasure out of your efforts, and prematurely wear down your vitality. Or three, you can give up, accepting a lesser range of motion. By allowing this obstructing burden to dictate to you, you constrain yourself in an oppressive standard, compressing your range of motion into imprisonment. By doing so, you thereby inflict upon yourself the very limitations you had sought to avoid dealing with in the first place. Then, to justify the laziness of your cowardice, you can make pain and misery into an acceptable standard, building your rationalizations into a glorified validation for suffering. Now, we obviously all have a choice in how we direct our energy. Very often, we come into this place where you mentioned depression. Okay, it's an easy one to focus on, because there's a lot of depressed people right now. But let's define it first. Mm. What is depression? Depression is getting stuck. In Chinese medicine, the image is given like you would put your hand in. Remember those clay? You used to make impressions of clay or on the concrete with your. Our family did that, you know, our little hands as children, we put a hand in and we put our name by it, you know, with our hand. That's imprinting, right? It's also known as depressing, putting an impression, right? Depressed. But depression in its truest form means getting stuck. And I had mentioned earlier shows that all pain, be it physical or emotional pain, is energy that's stuck or blocked energy, right? So when we talk about the word depression, people are very often stuck in their life. They don't have ways out. They think that they have no way of freeing themselves up or getting a larger range of motion. But when we talk about the obstruction, that's the number one way of dealing with it. The obstruction has to be first identified. What is it that's causing you to limit your range of motion? Maybe it's money. Maybe, gosh, I'd love to travel, or I sure would like to buy another pair of shoes, or whatever it happens to be. You know that your limitations are part of this whole process of freeing you up, because the understanding that you have just so much energy to put in your day. In fact, Carolyn Mace years ago put out a book, I think it was in her first book, about you have 100 units of energy when you wake up. But if you're draining yourself of all the emotional woes, all these, oh my gosh, you know, my mother-in-law wants me to do this, and I really don't like hanging out with my stepbrother or whatever. All these energies that weigh you down are the initial force that you put out into those draining energies, those things that you put into. In other words, dread, depress. I dread doing this, or I'm depressed by having to be here to put my energy into something I really don't want to do, but everybody else is expecting of me. The half of this whole answer is identifying what it is that's causing you to be drained in the first place. Because my job, as I said before, is to empower you. That's the healer's job. It's not to do it for you. I can't eat a meal for you. I can't ride a bike for you. But I can give you the tools that enable you to make these choices to get you out of the rut that you're in. And I can see it. It's not something that's confusing to me. But what I often will see people do is that when they get into a pattern, they don't break it. They get locked in and they don't see that there's another way. So here's what I'm suggesting. When I talk about getting rid of the obstruction, let me bring up an example. And do you mind if I pick on you a little bit here in a good way?
No, by all means.
Okay, you had an obstruction. Didn't you have an employee or a partner that was holding your business back?
And
wasn't that a recent, do you mind talking?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It was a whole big thing to do the entirety of this year. About half of it was spent correcting his mistakes and the things that he damaged before we got rid of him.
Okay, so there's the obstruction. You were able to, although it was a process, you got rid of that obstruction, and now the healing can occur. Has that happened?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, things are so much better. Business is up across the board. We're making more money. Yeah.
Okay. So that's an easy one, right?
Yeah, right. But it's obvious. It's all clean cut. Yeah, there's here's the problem. Remove it. Everything gets better. Yeah, that was an easy one, relatively speaking. Yeah,
because you knew where the obstruction was.
Mm-hmm.
But before that happened, you had to put up the good fight, right? And you knew where the burden was coming from. One of the reasons we are in the mess that we're in as humanity is it's about being excruciatingly honest. And that burden that we place on ourselves is oftentimes self-inflicted. We'll pick on ourselves, we'll say, we're not capable of managing our own energy, our own life, so we give it in the hands of others. Now, I don't need to tell you this, of course, but when that's done, you don't have control of your energy. In other words, you have to take the steps to first identify what is required to break out of what these burdens are, what these obstructions are. I remember when I was in med school and I had to work two jobs during that time to keep myself going while I was in med school. It was a very hard time, but I knew that there would be no other way for me to do it unless I did this. In other words, I looked at my options. I saw that this time I didn't get as much sleep as I should have, but be that as it is, I had a lot of will at that time to finish something that I started. So part of the answer into going into this is that you had to fight the good fight first, right? It wasn't there, and being honest about that. So when you fight the good fight, you have to realize where the burden comes from. So what is it that's making your life heavy? And can I bring up a few common ones?
All right.
Absolutely. Okay. So some of the common ones is toxicity. It means toxicity in our emotional environment and our physical environment. And what those toxicity, you know, when we're trying to detoxify all the time, I just went through a recent detox, and I realized that, you know, I wasn't really noticeable, but I had a hip pain, and I treated it with a variety of things, and it was a very enduring kind of hip pain. But I managed to get through it, and I lightened the load. But in the process of lightening the load, I also realized that there was a lot of congestion that came out at the same time. So I was locking in with the pain, right, the blocked energy. My physical body had to go through the changes that realized the connection to where that pain was. So the emotional pain that was tied to my hip was starting to come out. And I was kind of surprised. In other words, the deeper I go, the lighter I feel. But I was realizing the emotional pain, I wasn't giving myself enough time to allow this pain to work through me. And there were some emotions that were associated with that. And one of them, emotion that was associated with that, and I'm not saying that I feel internally tied to this, but part of it is the loss of someone you love. Okay? The physical pain manifested itself, but what was coming up for me, and I had a dear friend of mine that passed last year, who I loved very much, in Am Rosen. And he was my mentor. He's, of course, the author of this book. But I also realized that I hadn't grieved enough to allow that loss to process, and it took me almost a whole year to realize that it was locking in my body also. And when you have those connections with people that you truly love, want to share with them, and you can't because they're gone, that I had to come to grips with emotionally. And that's part of the healing process, is being able to be aware enough to know where that process was, where that emotional burden was holding you back. Can you relate to that, Michael?
Yeah, I can. Absolutely. There's no question about it that there's this connection that exists. It's a weird thing, because you accept the fact that they're gone, and you can do that sort of fairly quickly. I mean, it's your brain gets it. Your mind gets it. They're not there anymore, and they're not going to be there anymore. But then, you know, sort of a year later or even longer, you know, you realize it's still there. That no matter what, that they're gone. Their presence isn't there, and so you want to have that conversation. You want to share that idea, that feeling with that special person, and you remember that person, but hopefully it's not painful at that point. Hopefully it becomes more nostalgic, I suppose. But
well, that's part of the healing process,
right?
Is that you first allow yourself to feel. Boy, when I was younger, I was stubborn. I wanted to muscle through everything, you know. But that I had to realize that in this. Was brought on by a friend of mine who knew me quite well, that in my early teenage years, says, Dean, you've got to learn how to just get back to your feelings again. because you're trying to over, you know, compensate for what you are not addressing. And it was the best advice I had at that teenage time, because what I was trying to do was overcompensate for what it was I wasn't really feeling, that was unresolved in myself, right? We all want that connection. We all want to be loved. We all want to be hugged. We all want to be told we're doing a good job. But how often does that really, truly come in? And I, you know, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I've got, you know, what it takes. What happens is we get locked into a negatively charged emotional pattern, right? I'm going to be a great piano player, and or I'm going to be a great athlete, and I'll show you. But where does that come from? It comes from the negative charge.
Right, yeah, it's the wrong side of the argument. You're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it out of spite. You're doing this is something that I try to find words to explain people all the time. This approaching things from the losing side of the argument to attempt to win something, and this is just another example of that. It's the exact opposite approach. You don't do things to spite. You don't become successful. You don't have rewards and gain riches because you want to make somebody else feel bad. You do it because you want to make yourself feel good.
That's a very important part of this that I think humanity has to evolve into, making a clarification of just what are you doing this for? Are you doing this for someone else? Are you doing it for yourself? And you can equate that to lovemaking too. Are you doing it for them? Or are you doing it for yourself? And you're making love first for yourself. That's where that heart gets connection. And then you want to share, because then you can start to play for all it's worth, because you're not being held back because you're trying to do something of someone else's expectations. Now, this is obviously a huge topic, and I'll be in more detail later. But the point that I'm wanting to bring home here is that you obviously, when you identify where the obstruction is, you have to remind yourself to be kind to yourself. And boy, was I hard on myself. I banged myself in the head, you know, head into the wall trying to figure these things out, because I should know this. I should know this. Mm-hmm. But to be kind to yourself means you have to give yourself permission to not know and become the student. The burden at that point is lifted. You don't have the heavy burden when you put yourself in the student position. Now, that doesn't mean that you just forget it and not put your attention on to knowing what it is that's causing you this burden, because eventually, if you've got a good mind and you've got the presence of desire, which is something both you and I can't give anybody, but if you have those two things, you can move into that place of being empowered by saying, all right, something's not right now. It felt right before, but now it doesn't. Something's gotten in the way, but I've got to put my attention on it long enough so that I can then become more aware. So I'm going to give myself permission to not know. And I therefore don't get locked in. And then you start to catch yourself when you get sucked in by something that doesn't work for you. Okay? This is a subtlety that you can become more progressively learned, more tuned into, more adept, okay? You can become more skillful at being able to identify where these problems exist. And then you start to realize that you have some confidence that you didn't have before. You have the confidence of identifying the problem and also giving yourself permission not to get bought into it by defending yourself. You told this to me, and you said this to me, and it made me so angry, and it's your fault. And then you catch yourself and say, wait, what is really at fault here? Is it me being emotionally charged in that negative way that causes me to react? Or is it somebody who's, you know, truly attacking me? You're coming at me with a machete. I mean, I'm going to run the other way. You know?
Well, that's it, isn't it? That's the weight of the burden. That's that carrying that thing beyond the point where it should be affecting you. Okay, yes, the initial point where somebody does you wrong, something happens, you deal with it, and you deal with it as naturally, hopefully as learnedly and preparedly as you can yourself. But then, you know, sort of 6 months down the road, and the thing is over, and you're still talking about it, and you're sort of ranting and raving about how much how mad you were at this situation. You can't believe that you still haven't totally recovered, and it's over, but you know there's still damages done and things that have to be, and you're still riding on it. It's a horrible weight and burden, and that's exactly what we're talking about with Dr. Dean Lloyd, and we will come back here. And he will continue to weigh in on Toward on Anarchy. Peace.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product, has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
So if I can keep keep myself from fumbling through my own words and the name of the show. Before we went into that break, you're talking about these sort of lingering. This is what the conversation is, right? This is these burdens that weigh on us, that we allow to weigh on ourselves. It's one thing if you haven't separated yet. There's still, to use the example of my own experience this last year in the business, there was this business partner, and unfortunately we're still tied to him a little bit in some minor ways, and so it's still there, it still comes up, it's still a thing, but once those couple of little ties are finally severed and there is absolutely no reason, in fact he's probably at the shop right now delivering something that he owes to the shop, that he does that. He makes sure that I'm not there. He knows that I'm doing this when he makes his appearances around there to wrap up the last couple of little things that are still tying us together. We get stuck in this mode, and it's funny because it brings this sort of sci-fi movie storyline trope to mind, and it's this thing where the guy will go in and he wants to have his memories erased because he's had this relationship and this relationship has gone bad now, and he said, well, I'd rather just erase the memories and have to deal with that with the pain and remembering and the heavy weight, this burden that I carry around with me in regard to this individual. And they'll go in and they'll do the whole sci-fi thing, and then they'll have an experience, or they'll have a memory, they'll have a conversation or something like that, and ultimately what happens is the person realizes that they don't want to delete that memory. They don't want to erase that memory because it erases the memory of that person, and it erases every memory, all the good stuff, not just the fact that they're no longer with you. It erases all those good things that you had together. It erases all those times, and I think we realize through those stories that we are that we're equipped to deal with the sadness, the loss, those things, by remembering the better things, by pointing our direction, our energy, our thoughts toward those positive things that happened before.
Yeah, and I'm going to go to another excerpt that directly ties into that, and it's about being uptight and losing your sight. Okay? And this is on page 23, and it's brief, but it goes right into that. Uptight, loss of sight. Can you think of even one time in your life when being depressed, afraid, confused, or any of the other negative means by which we emotionally torment and tyrannize ourselves has ever been beneficial? Don't such negative emotions always weaken your body, obscure your awareness, and distort your perspective on the moment? If such negative emotions never help, yet always impair, then why, come hell or high water, would you ever resort to them? This is part of our big lesson here, is to understand that feelings, when they're integrated in your body, run the body. The way that negative emotional patterns are locked into people, they'll overeat, they'll try to overcompensate, have you ever heard of risk takers, that they enjoy taking high risks?
Oh, yeah.
They get that adrenal rush, but they very common that they end up hurting themselves for life when they don't have to put themselves at high risk. I'm not saying that high risk takers are wrong. This is not about being right or wrong.
Right.
It's about appropriately directing your energy to what's most effective and appropriate and best serves you.
Well, look, if you destroy yourself, damage those around you, has that really served anything? That's definitely the wrong thing to do. So I think I think it's perfectly fine to look at it in terms of right and wrong. It may be, of course, what's right for you may not be right for some. but the reality is that there is a very objective right and wrong way to handle things. And I think if people would look at you know, sort of conversations like this, topics like this, in more terms like that, and not in their self-serving narcissistic reward that they get from doing what they do, but the actual positive influence that it has externally. You can satisfy yourself all day, you can lock yourself in a basement and do that all day, but it doesn't really improve anything at all.
No, and that's why we need to have the tools that enable us to stop this vicious cycle of being stuck or placed in a burden. And I'll give some tools that that allow or give you some perspective on that, that you can pick which one works for you, because one yoga or one discipline or one exercise or, you know, one meditation technique, there is no panacea here, Michael, and we don't want to fool ourselves that that's been the case. Okay, that doesn't work for anything. You take supplements if you're doing, you know, your I like breathing exercises lately. They've been helping. There's a really good book I'd like to plug for people that are having anxiety or having difficulty relaxing, because that's one of the big issues, is that we have to learn how to relax, letting go, how we do this. And it's, you can do bellows breath or cyclical breathing or Qigong breathing. There's a lot of techniques. One good book I mentioned to patients that want to do a good discipline for themselves is Deep Breathing Exercises for Anxiety by Andrea Lisbon. This is something you can get on Amazon. There are quite a few good books out there. That one you can get in Kindle. That's the way I have it. But it brings up some of those breathing exercises. We obviously have to make time for it, and you have to have energy to do it, because it takes energy to make energy, right? So here we are talking about giving yourself permission to not know. Here we are also realizing that we have to find where the block comes from, where is the burden coming from. We also have to find what disciplines that we need to allow ourselves to either start with or continue on that work for us. I personally like swimming. I like hiking. I like doing the breathing exercise. There's quite a few others that I have in my armamentarium of tools, if you will. But I don't forget to sing, or I don't forget to play music. It's one of your releases. It's one of your creative processes. And it's what gives us pleasure will give us the ability to relax. And we don't do it intellectually. I'm not talking about that now. I can intellectually, you know, I can dance with the highest of intellects on the planet. That's just me. But what I do know is that even if they're highly intellectually developed, they are very oftentimes still being run by primitive emotional patterns.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and this is where you get locked in. They don't, this is a subconscious thing. So the greatest, you know, place to put yourself is first remind yourself that you're being a friend to yourself, being honest with yourself. You can propel yourself past all these obstacles, but by first realizing that you have the ability to understand what you're dealing with, and reminding yourself that it's good to get those things that give you pleasure as a necessity, just like eating, just like, you know, keeping your body clean doing the disciplines like deep breathing exercises and so forth. But singing, or maybe it's clay, or doing some sculpting, or whatever it is for you that makes it so that your discipline and your understanding that your art form, whatever that may be, and there's some people I know that just can't carry a tune. My late friend, Dr. Rosen, he memorized the words to every song. I mean, it was incredible. He was brilliant. But he couldn't hardly sing a note. And every time he would open his mouth and sing, I go, oh, no, you know, but I put up with it, you know. He was singing, but it was an enjoyable thing, even though he couldn't carry a tune. But he memorized all the words, which was just incredible. But there are people that have certain talents, and to focus on them, that's the holiday, the holy day, right? The holy days that we have are to celebrate knowing each other, knowing that we are all uniquely qualified to have our own talents, and as you just mentioned earlier, is to remember those beautiful times that we have had, if they are beautiful, and that we're in the process of creating new energy that is freeing ourselves up from these burdens that have been holding us back all these years. And I just gave my most recent discovery of myself, because we're always discovering things about ourselves. We should be. That's part of the beauty of life, is that you allow yourself to discover something new about yourself. Because the moment that you stop growing, you're dying. You know, you're not allowing yourself the pleasure that you could open yourself up to.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, because you can know yourself and be confident in yourself and understand how you're going to deal with things, even when you don't know what they are, and they can still sneak up on you, and they can still surprise you, and they can still put you out of your place, your normal space, and your comfort zone, which that's probably usually a good thing for most people, to keep them on their toes and keep them practicing those things. So it's an interesting space in there somewhere in between to, you know, be someone who understands yourself, knows these things, as you were talking about earlier, when you're trying to deal with the situation. Look, I have all the tools. I've sat here and I've given these tools to other people and I've helped other people. Sometimes that can be the hardest. Sometimes the teachers forget to learn.
Yeah, and I'll be tested. You'll be tested. We'll all be going through these phases in life where it'll challenge us and saying, what the heck have I been doing? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, what makes it so that I'm not getting what I want out of life? What is it that's not satisfying? So holidays for me, too, are reminders of reflection, because this is a time also to dream and put out the effort. It's harder to start new projects in the winter, right?
Yeah.
And it's also part of our own body's rhythm that we slow down and don't allow the fast pace to get the best of us. Mm-hmm. Because if it does, it'll drain our energies and we won't enjoy the holiday. But we are bred, and I say this in all, you know, whatever, you know, however you've been brought up, we are bred to also celebrate who we are and how we've come to this point in life. Now, there's a lot of gloom that's going on right now. There's a lot of emphasized fear. There's a lot of anger fit. Just as an example, I was reading some years back that it takes, after someone has an angry fit and they lose it, it takes 17 hours for the body to recover.
What's that now?
It takes 17 hours for the body to recover from an anger fit.
Oh, okay. This is a scientific thing?
This is a scientific thing. I'm trying to remember the source I got it from. And then there was another, Dr. Caldwell was reminding us of a time when Germans did a study of a hug increasing the immune response 10 times. 10 times with a hug. Your immune response. And we're brought up to believe that, you know, that people that are contagious with their flus and their viruses and things like that, you know, we're brought up to stay away. Well, there's some validity to that. You know, there's pathogenic threshold potential in a viral load, for example, that if you're around a lot of, you know, a lot of toxins, let's just make it simple, a lot of toxins that it may build up in your system. But we're talking on the physical, emotional exchange that we have, because other people that are important in our life should lift us. It rises us. I love, you know, being in communication with people that want to rise with me. Because you don't fall, for example, you don't fall in love. You rise in love. You see people, you understand them, you know where they've been, you know what they've been through, and you want them to grow all at the same time. And that's part of, for me, that's what I celebrate. I celebrate those people that I know, just like with my dear friend, Dr. Rosen, and how he influenced me, how he directed me, and we allow ourselves to feel that nurturing part of ourselves with the other connections that we have in life. And that's a beauty. That's a healing. That is part of the healing art. And I'll be sharing more, of course, in other shows to come about the healing art. But that, to me in particular, is what I celebrate, is knowing people that I know, how they've influenced me, how I appreciate who they are, and how it's put me in a place where I can be thankful in giving back the best that I have. You know, I can share with them the best that I have and celebrate, you know, lighten the burden, make it worthwhile, and be honest about where you really want to go.
That's a key word, honest. And you got to be honest with yourself. You can't be honest and truthful with anything else or any other situation if you're not first honest with yourself. We should understand this by now, that it all begins and ends with us, that we not in this existential sense at all, that we shape the world around us by the way we respond to it. This should be so obvious to us as a people that we shouldn't have to be even having these conversations anymore.
I'm so glad you said that word. Obvious is one of my favorite words, because what's obvious is what's going on. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's quite simply put, the burden that people are putting on themselves is so unnecessary.
Yeah.
And I'm talking generalities here. And one of the traits of the Aquarian is to enjoy sharing your story. I love telling stories. And I would hope that when you are, you know, meeting with your significant friends and family, that there's a story to share, that we are doing this together, that we can take the burden off ourselves by knowing we're doing this together, and it isn't isolated, okay? And those people that really do matter to us, we're going to share with them that they mean something to us, that they're important to us, and that's part of the celebration. And we'll do it in our own unique way, okay? And some of the things that come up for us too that I would like to point out is that when you're celebrating, you're not doing it because you have to. No one's telling you you have to celebrate. No one tells you you have to be here for the holidays. No one's telling you, but it sure is fun when you can do it because you want to. And one of the things I did as a gift to my family this year is I sent them a song. I sang a song, I played on my ukulele, and I sang to them, and I put pictures up that were of the family, and I put it up on YouTube, and that was my Christmas gift to my family. Personal and beautiful, and I wanted them to hear me sing. Now, that doesn't mean that anybody has to do anything in that way. It's just that was my creative expression this year, and how I wanted to show them that they meant something. They're very special.
That's really cool. It's really neat to be able to do such personalized and personal gifts like that. We're so into this, just trying to fill people's spaces with the with things, with these, with the all these gadgets, and they're wonderful and they're fun, and I love them myself, all the gadgets, but just the actual thought and the putting the hands on something and putting the mind to something, to give it to someone, and it's so much more value in that. And it seems to be missed. It's just about consumerism. It's just about buying and being getting the better gift. And it's just one more of the things that comes around this time of year that you have to start considering about about people and about who they are and about why they do what they do, why they're motivated to love you. You know.
Well, that's putting in a new paradigm. What you're discussing is the very thing that we're talking about today, is that what may have been old and worked in the past may not be working anymore, right? You know, we've got the box stores are losing major money because people are strapped and, you know, the sales and all these kinds of things. There's an importance that people put into the non-emotional side of things, right? To divert the attention away from the true meaning of what we're here for. And we're looking at the holiday as you pointed out. It's easy to point out the problem because it's, you know, the economy's always going to be failing and people are not thriving in health or whatever the issue is. But the celebration comes into knowing each other, knowing that we're doing this in life together. And that's part of the holy days concept. For me, it just happened to be one of the ways of my expression and doing a holiday song and sending it to my family. That was just one way of expressing it. But however you do your creative thing to show that you love them or care about them, those are the holy days we're talking about, because that itself is one of the best ways of realizing your healing potential, because nobody does this world alone.
Well, and we get caught up on this idea that what we're supposed to do is give and exchange and things. Well, you give of yourself. That's a thing too. Just being present and being there and loving your family and your friends and that can be just as important, if not more important, than any of these little gifts and trinkets and things that you might be chasing after that have you. I know my wife does it at this time of year every year. It's not as bad. I know there are a lot of people that have it much, much worse, but they, you know, just start to fret around this time of year. Oh, are we going to get this? Is this going to be ready? Well, you know, I have to make this. Are these people coming? Did we get this gift? Or should we get that gift? And I, you know, it happens every year. I snap my fingers and everything magically appears. And she says, oh, I don't know why I ever worried about it in the first place. Yeah, it's same thing every year, 25 years.
Well, you break out of that pattern. Do it slowly. Do it gradually. You know, approach these things with new energy because, and I say this because it's fear. Fears when you don't understand, and approach your fears with caution, right? So I'm hoping a lot of the people that I care about, I can connect with in this holiday. But we're gonna move past this space as a culture, and with doing this by celebrating, that's got to celebrate.
Thank you, Dr. Lloyd. We gotta go. We'll be back next year.
All right. See you then.
Take care.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.